Good morning and welcome to the Together radio broadcast of the First Free Will Baptist Church of Farmington. I'm Scott Cheatham. On behalf of our pastor Roger Hogan, music minister Naaman Dement, and the entire church family, I'd like to invite you to stay with us for the next few minutes for today's program.
If you have your Bible turned this morning to Ephesians chapter 6, and I mentioned to you last week that I want to deal with the subject of Christian warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look in verse 10. What many Americans do not realize is that we are in an invisible war, an unseen war, a continuing war between light and darkness, between good and evil, between heaven and hell, between Christ and the Antichrist, and between God and Satan and the church and the world. Most of you realize that if you've come to know Christ, that you're in a spiritual warfare. Over 1,300,000+ men and women gave their life for the freedoms that we enjoy in this blessed country today. But there's been ultimate millions of casualties that have died lost and are in a devil's hell today because of the unseen war, the invisible war that most people don't realize they're involved in. The Bible says that men who are without Christ, women who are without Christ, young people who are without Christ are blinded by the prince of this world, Satan himself. And so this invisible war, Satan is our adversary, and he, like a wounded animal, and is doing everything that he possibly can to ruin your life, my life, take souls to hell for all time and eternity. And so we need to understand, and we need to be prepared. You can't be ignorant in this matter, and you can't go unprepared, and there's no neutral place. There's no neutrality for those who do not want to get involved in the warfare. So the message this morning is really a call to arms. The church is not a showboat. The church is a battleship. And you and I, when we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we joined the army of the living God. And so we need to learn some truth about that Christian warfare that we're involved in this morning. There's four basic truths that I want to share with this morning. First of all, there's our adversary. We're going to be looking at our armor. We're going to be looking at our attack. And then finally, we're going to be looking at our allies. First of all here, our adversary. Look at it in chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Our adversary is the devil, and my friend, he is real. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if you believe in God the Father, you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you believe in a heaven and a hell, then you have to believe also that there is a devil, a literal devil who is a real person. And so the Bible tells us that Satan is a decided fact. The fact of evil and Satan and his demons are not the figment of somebody's imagination. They're not some medieval superstition. When the Bible speaks of the devil, he's speaking of a real person who has plans to hurt you and a strategy to damage your family. And ultimately, his desire is to take people to hell forever and forever and forever. My friend, when death comes for you, and it's coming, you can mark it down. At some point, the Bible says you're going to die. You're either going to be in heaven the moment you blink your next eyelash, or in heaven or hell. And the choice is yours. It's your decision. So I want you to notice here in this passage of Scripture how the devil is described. First of all, Satan is described as a destructive force. Look in verse 11. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. And so the devil has a plan. And ultimately that plan is to is to take your soul to hell. The Bible says that Satan was a created being. His name was Lucifer. He was an angel. He was probably the highest angel in God's kingdom. And yet he had a will, as angels do, and he had a desire to be God. And the Bible says there was a conspiracy took place, and there was legions of angels who conspired with Lucifer. And the Bible says that God cast him out of heaven into earth and into hell. And so there's a spiritual warfare that's been going on ever since. And your soul and my soul is what at stake. Every time a person dies lost without Christ and they go to hell, Satan marches in the front of God, sticks his bony finger in the face of God, says, there's one more soul that you'll not get. And so, my friend, you need to understand that Satan is a destructive force. He uses all sorts of weaponry today. He uses drugs. He uses alcohol. He uses a number of things to blind people, to enslave people, to ensnare people, and take their souls to hell. And so he's real, and he's destructive, and he's powerful. And as I mentioned, he has a strategy. Paul says we're not to be ignorant of his devices. In the third chapter of Genesis, the Bible says that the serpent, the devil, was more subtle than any beast of the field. And so the devil, as I mentioned, has a strategy that's planned out to destroy you, this nation, your home, all that's good, all that's godly, all that's holy. And those are just some of the wiles of the devil. Mind you also that Satan is also spiritual. Look in verse 12 again. The Bible says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or high places. If we could see the spiritual world out there before us, and we can't see that, unless God will enable you to see that, there is a warfare, a spiritual warfare going on even today, and it's going on in some of your hearts even now as I speak. And so there's a spiritual warfare. It's an unseen warfare. The devil has a strategy, and the devil is spiritual. As I mentioned, he was a created being. His name was Lucifer, and he was cast out of heaven by God into earth and into hell. It'd be a great day in America when people learn that everything that is spiritual is not necessarily good. There is spiritual righteousness, but my friend, there's also spiritual wickedness. And the devil is an evil spirit. He's unseen. And therefore, as a result of that, he's even more dangerous. When you see somebody and they're a criminal, I mean, you observe that. And there's some warning there. But here's an unseen being. He's unseen. And he's after you and he's after me. And so Paul's saying our battle is not flesh and blood. It's not between Brother Bob and myself or Brother Tom and myself or you and me. It's between spiritual forces. And the demons of hell are working with Satan to do his business. And so Satan is systematic and Satan is spiritual. But I remind you that Satan is strong. Look in verse 12 again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And by the way, there's ungodly leadership in this world and demonic leadership in this world. And we have some demonic leadership placed in leadership of our country. So Satan is a powerful ruler. And the Bible calls him the God of this world. Don't laugh about the devil. And don't think the devil as some little fella in a red suit of underwear with horns and a forked tail and a pitchfork. That's not the devil the Bible describes. Satan is a lofty, exalted person who has kingdoms and myriads of demons, the Bible says, who do his bidding with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's no one that has the power, the authority, the majesty, the might that Satan has except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you need to understand that. God is almighty, but Satan is also mighty. And I want you to notice not only is he systematic and not only is he spiritual, but the Bible says that he's sinister. He's sinister. Look in verse 12 again. The Bible says against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Underscore that word darkness. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. What a dark, diabolical, devilish, death-dealing, wicked, wrathful spirit the devil has. And we need to understand that. I trust that you do. And sometimes we get a little bit lax in that. You know, the devil comes along and he, and I'll mention here in a moment when we talk about armor, he attacks our mind. This is the battle. Listen, the mind is the battleground for the devil. That's where the real internal warfare takes place. And so we Christians need to learn the devil hopes that you'll never learn. That greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The only hope that you and I have is Jesus Christ, and he needs to be in you. If you're going to fight off the attacks of Satan in your life, if you're going to be an overcomer instead of an addict of some kind or addicted to something, and there's so much addiction out there in the world today. There's drugs, there's alcohol, there's pornography, there's right on down the line. People get addicted to that subtly, Satan. I remember the first drink I ever took. I made myself drink it. But after I drank enough of it, I acquired a taste for it. And then I begin, you know, and then my wife, when I first started dating her, said, "You're so much fun when you're drinking." And I was. I was the life of the party. But after a couple, 3 years of that, 4 years of that, I became obnoxious, aggressive. People didn't want to be around me. I was always wanting to knock somebody's head off. Because that's what drugs and that's what alcohol does to you. It gets a hold of you and it changes you. Changes the person that you might have become or that you might be or you should be. And so we've taken a quick look at it, the adversary. We're going to look secondly at our armor because we're in a battle and we're in a fight to the finish. And you can't remain neutral. Listen, you can't remain neutral in this battle. That's the most foolish thing you can do. And so you must put on the whole armor of God. And it must be the whole armor, not just a piece. You can't leave off a piece of it. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. And so in verse 14, he says, "Stand therefore." The word "stand" means to be watchful and to be alert. When I was in the military, we had to do guard duty. And you better not go to sleep. Guys have been put in the brig for going to sleep on AWOL or going to sleep on guard duty because it's a dangerous thing. You're protecting those that you're guarding. And if you go to sleep, then they're susceptible to an attack and to potential death. And that happens to us when Satan just lulls us to sleep. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel about that in America today, we're in a spiritual lull. Huh? Back in the 70s when this church was exploding in growth, I just took it for granted. There was a real moving of the Holy Spirit. People were convicted because of sin in their life. That's not the case any longer. We're not convicted about anything. What's the problem? It's not the Holy Spirit. It's not God. It's me and you. And so we have to put on the armor of God. And the first piece of armor is the belt. He says, put on the belt of truth. Gird up your loins with truth. The devil's a liar, and the Bible says he's a father of liars. He's going to tell you you're okay. He's going to tell you you're just fine the way you are. He's going to tell you you can live the way you want to, and then one day when you get ready and you get right, you can get right with God. That's a lie from Satan too. There's no guarantee I'm going to have tomorrow, neither is it a guarantee to you. Just listen to the news before the day's over. There's wars and rumors of wars, and there's catastrophes all around us. Those are signs of the last days. But my friend Satan is having a heyday before the second coming of Jesus Christ. So he's talking here about being the believer's integrity. You got to be right with yourself. And you've got to be honest with yourself. I never got right with God until I got right honest with God about who I am and what I was. You have to be honest. And you have to admit, yes, God, I've sinned. I've sinned against you. I've been a rascal. You have to be honest about that. And so he said, put on a belt of armor. And then mentioned here, and by the way, there's the armor's two divisions. There's the defensive, and then there's the offensive. And we'll come to that in a moment. But there's the blessed place of righteousness. Notice in verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, that means daily consistent walk of the Christian. The Bible says you have to walk in the light as he is in the light if you're to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. In other words, when you got saved, listen, how many of you served in the military? Would you raise your hand? Several of you did. When you joined and you joined, you got drafted, did you do anything you wanted to? Huh? You did what you were told. You went where you were told, whether you liked it or not. I'm always accountable to somebody. And my friend, you are too. You're accountable to somebody. And it's God Almighty that you're accountable to. And so he says here that we have to put on the armor of God, not just a piece of it. You see, the Roman soldier in his time wore a breastplate that covered his neck down to his waist, his chest, his lungs, his heart, his liver, his vital organs were protected. And God says that we're to have the blessed breastplate of righteousness. And so the belt of truth is integrity, and the breastplate of righteousness is purity. The Bible says that you're to keep your heart with all diligence. You see, listen, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so the battlefield's in the mind, but also the heart. We have a wicked heart. We have an unregenerated heart. Listen, the devil is always looking for a crack in the armor. Amen. And you know, it's amazing how he works. It's usually what you have been in the past that he works on. Amen. Huh? Amen. Whatever sin you were involved in, you know, I was 29 when I got right with God, so I had a lot of sinfulness. I have reaped what I've sowed personally because of my sinfulness. I guarantee you the Bible says that we will. We'll reap more than we sow. And so I've been reaping what I've sowed. And so there's that battleground in mind, but also the battle in the heart. And so the heart has to have protection. And so he says here in verse 16 that we have to use the shield of faith. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So what is the shield of faith? Well, a soldier would have a shield generally made of wood covered with thick armor or thick leather. And the advantage of it was that he could use that shield to fight off the fiery darts of the enemy, the wicked. And so Satan, knowing your weaknesses, throws those spiritual fiery darts at you. He knows exactly where to hit you. And what to hit you with. Today we have cell phones. We have internet. We have all that medical technology. The prince of the power of the air. People spend so much time on that. I was sitting at the restaurant the other day. And I looked around. Everybody was looking at the phone. Including me. I said, look at this. It's controlling our life. But in a touch, you can see nudity, huh? You can see any and everything. That's a fiery dart, huh? From wicked places. And men get caught up in that. Preachers get caught up in that. And so we have to guard the heart. We have to guard our eyes. And so we have to yield the shield of faith. I need to hurry along. The helmet of salvation. The helmet, as you know, very well covers the head and protects the head. And I mentioned that's a believer's mentality. If the devil can get in your thought life, The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And many think they're okay spiritually. That's one of the lies of Satan. You know, you got saved 20 years ago, and you're all right. You can live the way you want to. You can do all right you want to, and you're okie dokie. That's a lie from Satan. Huh? No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Brother, you can walk away from him. And it's those things that he uses in your life, those things that you've had in the past. Then the shoes of peace. Christ is our peace. Feet must be clean. Keep your heart clean. You have to stand. You're not going to fight the enemy on your seat of do nothing. And so Christ is the truth. He's the truth. And there's a peace that passes all understanding. Never understood that until I got right with God. And the first thing I experienced was peace. Peace with God. There was a spiritual war that had been going on in my life and in your life. And until you got right with God, there was no peace. And the unsaved world don't understand that. And so they look to this for happiness. And they look for this for contentment. And they're looking for this for peace. Drugs, alcohol, sex, good times, doing this, running here, buying this, getting that, and they think that's going to sustain them and give them happiness. The most miserable people in the world are those who have millions of dollars. Just ask the guy who won the lottery. It's fun for a while, but all of a sudden he's got a bunch of friends. So we looked at our adversary, we looked at our armor, and now our attack. It's not enough to have on the armor, there's a battle. Here's where the offensive takes place. You can't just stay home, and you can't say, I'll dress up in the armor and lock the door. No, sir. You've got to go into the battlefield. Heard about some little boys who were sitting around the room playing, and they were unusually quiet. And the mother came in and said, what are you guys doing? And she said, well, we're playing war. She said, I've never seen boys play war like that. You're all so quiet. And one little boy said, we're all generals. Everybody wants to be a general. Listen, I'm looking for soldiers, amen? Some people get out there on the battlefield. The victory is to be sure, and your attack must be powerful if you keep two things in mind. Number one, the sharpness of the sword, and number two, the source of your supply. And verse 17, it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. What is that saying? It says you have to protect yourself by getting in and being in the book. Amen. We have shallow Christianity today. You might be saved, but you haven't grown an ounce, or you haven't grown an inch because you haven't read and you haven't been into the Word of God. And when the cults and the isms come along, you're a sitting duck for Satan's attack. Amen. Because you don't know what the Word of God says. And some of those glorified TV evangelists, Joel Osteen and some of those yahoos, they have 50,000 people in their church this morning. But you can't pin him down about salvation. There's more than one way. You know, he's a great motivational speaker. Can't take that away. I wish I had a little bit of that. Wish I could motivate you. Motivate you to come to church. Motivate you to read the Bible. You know, I don't have it. I'm not Joel Osteen, but I'm glad I'm not. The sharpness of the sword, I need to hurry. And the source of our supply. Look in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. An army not only needs weapons and armor, but an army needs to stay in contact with its headquarters, and an army needs a constant source of supply. You see, without a constant source of supply and without a system of communication, an army is destined to defeat. Some of you who've been in combat, you know the importance of communication. Watching some of those documentary on some of those Vietnam veterans who were in combat, got caught in ambush, if they didn't have communication, they couldn't call in an airstrike. They were sitting ducks. And so the sources of our supply. I'm going to quickly give you our allies. And this is how the chapter ends. Paul says in verse 18, praying for all saints. And in verse 19, he says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul said, as every preacher ought to say, pray for me. Pray for one another. Paul saying that we're not in this thing alone. We're not the Lone Ranger type of Christians. That's why I believe in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, when the battle gets hot and when it gets furious and thick and you need somebody on your side, you need somebody fighting with you, where are you going to find it? You're going to find it among God's people, in the church of God and in the house of God. You see, armor and weapons are not sufficient to win the spiritual battle. We must have prayer. Our enemy, our energy to overcome the enemy comes from the power of prayer. Prayer is the greatest privilege that you and I have as God's children. Prayer is a mighty weapon in the armor of God. And so it's not just enough to have on the armor. You need to have the allies. You need to pray. We should pray for ourselves, but we should pray for one another. There's some people say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the church. Well, that's ridiculous. It's like saying I believe in football, but I don't believe in uniforms and equipment, and I don't believe in stadiums and et cetera. Or I like fishing, but I don't believe in boats, motors, rods, and reels and water. Forget it. We need the church. And I need the church. See, we still have this old flesh. And I know enough about my flesh and about your flesh that if you don't come to church and you're not faithful to church, you see, church ain't going to get you heaven if you're not right with God. But on the other hand, if you get saved, you need the church. I just made it from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday again when I became a Christian. And I still need the church of the living God. Because this is where we pray together. And you're my family. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. That old crowd went away from me when I got right with God. That old beer drinking and woman chasing and drug smoking crowd went down the road after I got right with God. I told them, listen, I've gave my heart to Christ. I'm on a different road now. And they said, well, that's good and we're happy for you, but we're not ready for that. So I went on and they kind of drifted away from me. But you know what? God gave me a whole family. Gave me a new family. Gave me the right kind of family. Gave me a family of God. God's people who prayed for me and encouraged me and was there for me. Listen, Satan is subtle in his attacks. He'll use a little something or someone to upset you, to offend you, to take you out of the game, to take you out of the battle that you're in. And so you need to wise up. And you need to be conscious about these things because you're in a battle for your soul. Well, I've looked at my cell phone. It's over. I could go on and on. But listen, number one, do you know Jesus? You see, people involved in 12 steps. I did some of that when I was into booze and drinking, when I was addicted. I thought, these guys have been down the road and there's some help. And I'm not saying that's not some help there. But Jesus is the only one. He's the only one that can change your heart. He's the only one that can change your life. He's the only one that can give you direction in your life. And that's what you and I need. You see, we can be neutral in the matter. You can do nothing. And you can walk out of here and you can be the same person you came in and still not be right with God. But if you died today, where would you be? You think about that. Others need to put on all the armor. God blesses obedience, not disobedience. If you can show me the Bible that he blesses disobedience, I'll kiss your foot publicly. Hmm? And so what I'm asking you to do is you do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. You obey the voice that's speaking to your heart right now. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for salvation.
Thank you for tuning in this morning to the Together radio broadcast of the First Free Will Baptist Church of Farmington. Our worship service this morning is at 10 o'clock. We also have evening worship tonight at 6 and Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. If you have more questions about our church, give us a call at 573-756-8933. On behalf of Reverend Hogan and the church family, have a blessed Sunday morning.